Welcome once again to our Universal Call to Holiness series. This is our 30th series, in which we've been talking about that call from Vatican Council II, the call of all persons to achieve the wholeness and holiness and wholesomeness that God intended for us to have, and that we would not bury our talents in the ground like the man who wrapped his talent in silver coin in the ground and hid it because he was afraid of what his master would say if he failed. So my guest once again is Ron Eldred, the professor of religion and world history at John Paul II Catholic High. I'm your host, Monsignor Larry Moran, pastor emeritus of St. Patrick Church at 19th and Poplar, the intersection of which has that beautiful shamrock painted in the street. Ron, welcome once again, and we've been talking about the opposition or the obstacles or the stumbling stones to achieving holiness in our ordinary life. And we finished the one about the worldliness on our last session, and now we're coming to, in that series, the world, the flesh, and the devil, which the scriptures speak about as the main walls or fences that we have to be able to overcome. So what can we say, what do we talk about when we talk about, the scriptures talk about the flesh fights against the spirit?
Well, the flesh is certainly one of our most formidable enemies, and by the flesh we mean the disordered operation of our senses due to original sin. Of course, with original sin, they were in the fall of man, desire to sin, it becomes one of the consequences of original sin. Father Amen tells us that the flesh wages war against us in two ways. You remember Father Amen is one of the world's greatest spiritual directors and one of the greatest spiritual theologians. But he says there are two ways. One is by its insatiable desire for pleasure, which can threaten our eternal salvation, and by its instinctive fear of suffering. That's the second. He tells us these are the two things that get in the way as far as the flesh is concerned. Again, I'll repeat these. One is our insatiable desire for pleasure, meaning, of course, that you just simply can't satisfy it. We can't get enough of it, so to speak. And the other is an instinctive fear of suffering that people have. And usually people that are so much tied into hedonism and pleasure are going to have a horror to the greatest degree any kind of suffering. These are all, according to Father Amen, these are obstacles to our sanctification.
Okay. Now, I certainly agree that's a nice clarification. Insatiable desire for pleasure. An alcoholic will tell us that the more he drinks, the more he wants. As an example of that. And I don't know any of us who don't fear suffering or pain in some way. So on the other hand, if God gives me a desire for pleasure, the pleasure of eating, the pleasure of drinking, pleasure of marital embrace in a holy and a sacred bond of matrimony, what's wrong with pleasure?
Although bodily pleasures associated with sensual appetites can threaten our eternal salvation, they are not evil in themselves. God gave us, after all, God gave us these appetites, which are pleasurable to satisfy, either to conserve the individual or to conserve the human race. For example, the appetite to consume beverages and food is essential to our survival as individuals, and the appetite to procreate is essential for the survival of the human species. If these activities were not pleasurable, no one would willingly eat or drink or procreate. However, because of original sin, the appetite for pleasure often wars against the demands of reason and causes us to sin. Father Amen points out that a problem occurs when we attempt to discriminate the differences between honest pleasure from disordered and forbidden pleasures, and how to keep ourselves within the boundaries of the former. The enjoyment of lawful pleasures often becomes occasions or stimulations to disordered and unlawful pleasures. to help us make the morally correct distinction in practice between lawful and unlawful pleasures, the Church has always advocated that we practice mortification by depriving ourselves of many lawful pleasures. This is, one of the main reasons that we fast and abstain.
Sure, and sometimes that's hard. People interpret that to mean we have an aversion for the good things of life. But on the contrary, it's, as Father Almond is saying, it's trying to teach us self-discipline. I can learn to say no to something good, let's say meat on Friday during Lent, in order that I can learn to say no to something bad. It makes a very good sense that we need to practice self-discipline even in lawful things so we can be able to control our appetite in sinful things. What else does he tell us about our appetites?
Well, he tells us that our appetites associated with nutrition and generation create the biggest problems for us. The former is needed to maintain the survival of the individual.
So food and drink.
Yes, and the latter, the survival of the human species. Satisfying the appetite for food and drink and the need to procreate the human species is our principal struggle, he tells us. And I think that sounds pretty obvious. The problem occurs when we try to satisfy these appetites without regard for the maintenance of the individual and the species. If reason doesn't intervene to keep these instinctive appetites within morally acceptable limits, they can easily lead to the destruction of the individual and of the society as well, or the species. Father Almond says, quote, it is incredible how much harm an unmortified appetite can cause in us, not only as regards perfection, which is absolutely impossible without mortification, but even as regards our eternal salvation. Sensual people not only are not united with God, but they also lose the taste for divine things, as St. Paul teaches. He's quoting St. Paul here, or at least making reference to St. Paul in 1 Corinthians 2:14.
I think many historians would testify that the fall of a culture or a civilization is beginning when sexual promiscuity or sexual freedom without any restraints or without the holy sacrament of matrimony or the sacredness of marriage begins. It was apparently the fall of the Roman Empire, one of the greatest empires in history. And once that starts, it's very, very difficult to stop that slide into self-centeredness and then a weakness that leads to just the destruction of other virtues.
Being an historian, I could cite many instances that could partly at least be attributed to a complete lack of self-control when it comes to sexual matters. And not only that, but other appetites as well. Drinking and food and beverage and what have you in excess. These things all have a tendency to go together.
And I guess we have to throw into our conversation now, since drugs are so prominent a part of our society, that becomes an insatiable appetite, from what people tell me. And I heard a doctor say recently he was dealing with a person who had a $1,000 addiction to meth, and he was trying to help the guy get off, but he said meth is one of the most difficult drugs we've ever had to deal with. It becomes so addictive almost immediately, and it's so available that it's one of the worst epidemics that he as a doctor had thought we had to deal with. Okay, so the taste for divine things are lost, and we can just get an addiction for material things. I know I've talked to a person just recently who's trying to quit smoking. He's really trying to quit smoking, and he knows it's harmful to himself, and his family wants him to stop and the like, but it's hard to control. So, okay, how about some other advice that Father Almond would give us about learning to mortify, discipline, control our normal desire for pleasure.
He lists several remedies, both natural and supernatural, that are helpful in controlling sensuality. But as he points out, the most effective remedies proceed from faith and are strictly supernatural. And we'll share several of these here. For example, custody of the senses. Custody of the senses. This involves avoiding the near occasions of sin. Control of the senses, especially the senses of sight, is the most important to maintain in order to overcome the desire for unlawful and sinful pleasures, Father Almond tells us. He says that sincere resolutions and unswerving determinations are just simply not enough. That sin is simply too glamorous. It's too fascinating for us to overcome if we place ourselves in the occasion of sin. To do so is to tempt God. Sort of like we think we can go and be around whoever we want, read whatever we want, watch whatever we want. God's going to
protect us. Armor plate us.
Yes. He states that in such unguarded circumstances, quote, the senses are aroused, the imagination is excited, passion is strongly stirred, self-control is lost, and the fatal fall takes place, end of quote.
That word custody of the senses runs all through ascetical theology, or how to put God first in our lives. Recently, I was talking to a young man. I was in his 30s, and it wasn't here in the area. But he said, I got to do something about the internet. And he said, I guess what I need to do is put a block on it. And I said, well, about the pornography on the internet. And I said, well, can you put a block on the internet? He said, yeah. And he said, well, how do you do that? Because I don't really understand how you do that. He said, well, what I would do, I would put a code for access to, in order to access the pornography on the internet, but I wouldn't look at the number I'm putting down, and then I won't know how to get into it. And I thought, well, that sounds pretty clever. Okay, so that's guarding our eyes. We just can't, well, I'm going to look at that stuff and just see if it's as bad as it used to be, and then a person's back into it again.
Well, okay. Some other advice he gives us on how to control our desire for pleasure is self-denial. He tells us never to go to the limit in regard to satisfactions that are permitted. Father warns us that this requires self-denial and sometimes even denying ourselves lawful pleasures, especially if we're very sensual, in other words. And to make this point, he quotes Clement of Alexandria, who said that those who do everything that is permitted will very readily do that which is not permitted.
Wow, that's a powerful, I never heard that statement. And I think that's why Jesus says, unless we do penance, self-mastery, self-control, deny ourselves some good things, we will perish. We won't learn that self-mastery. Okay, what other suggestions?
Well, Father tells us that we need to have beneficial occupations. Perhaps you've heard the old saying that idle hands are the hands of the devil. And I might add that an idle mind also can be the mind of a devil. And in this regard, Father Amon says, I'll quote him here, the seed of sensuality finds fertile ground in a soul that is unoccupied and slothful. Sloth is mother of all vices, as we read in Scripture. But in a special way, it is fertile ground for the sins of the flesh. End of quote. He advises that those of us who wish to preserve ourselves from the demands of concupiscence must endeavor to keep ourselves occupied in some useful and beneficial exercise, especially intellectual activities that keep the mind profitably occupied.
I'd like to add there, in our culture, in our sit-down and sedentary culture, one of the things that's most helpful to many of us, we've got to get some physical exercise to burn off some of the energy and drive that we don't burn off because we sit at the desk all day or we sit at the stand at the mill all day. So both spiritual and physical exercises, I think, are both helpful ways, but that sure makes good sense. The other saying I've often heard is, a idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Well, one of the things you were referring to a while ago, I believe, what psychologists call sublimation. You can work off sexual energy, let's say, by exercise, or, you know, you've heard the old saying about taking the cold shower.
Sure.
Or whatever else.
Yeah, that's the most difficult. Well, one of the things I still struggle with, and it was the founder of the Legion of Mary, Frank Duff, a Irish laborer in Dublin back in the 20s, who founded the Legion of Mary, that did so much help for the church across the world. But he said, one of the ways to holiness is get up when the alarm clock rings and don't hit the snooze. And I'm not sure they had a snooze in those days when he was around, but he meant get up. And I still find that difficult. Boy, that's a real struggle. So self-mastery, self-control, self-discipline in little things can make a big difference.
He goes on to advise us that have a sense of Christian dignity, that we're rational creatures created in the image and likeness of God, and it is undignified to our humanity to allow ourselves to be carried away by the sensuality that we share in common with the animals. More important yet, baptism has raised us above the natural order to the supernatural level. And through sanctifying grace, we've become adopted children of God the Father and brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Moreover, grace has made us temples of the Holy Spirit, in which dwell the Father and the Son. And as long as we remain in God's grace, our sonship or daughterhood makes us heirs to heaven. For as St. Paul says, quote, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." I'm quoting here from Romans 8:17. In fact, I tell my kids, at least when I used to teach the younger kids in the middle school, that, you know, when you're tempted to sin, just remember that Jesus is living right inside your soul. He's right there. So when you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, or thinking things you shouldn't be thinking, or hanging around with people you shouldn't be hanging around, or doing anything you shouldn't be doing, just remember that Jesus is right there, and that should be enough right there to keep you from going on and continue doing those kinds of things.
And you know, they've always said that love is the perfect motive, but a fear is not a bad motive to keep us out of sin. The fear of the Lord is the beginning, not the end or the perfection, but it's the beginning of wisdom. And I've always thought about kids who say to another kid, "Oh no, man, I'm not going to do that because I'd really be in trouble with my dad." So that's a good motive. It'll keep me out of trouble. Well, I don't want to be in trouble with my Heavenly Father, my Father Abba in heaven. Okay, so a sense of Christian dignity. What other things does Father suggest?
Well, he says in regard to disordered sensuality, quote, "Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ?" He's here quoting St. Paul. "Shall I therefore take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body," end of quote. Here he's quoting 1 Corinthians 6:15 and also making reference to 19 and 20.
So he talks also about looking at the crucifix, remembering the passion of Jesus. Remember what he did for us. I taught the kids that little prayer, "Jesus, you died for me. Help me live for you just for today." And that's what I think Father Allman suggests next.
Associated with that, remembering the passion of Christ, he says, quote, "Motives inspired by love and gratitude are much nobler than those that originate in fear," which that's, you know, you were just referring to that a while ago. There's nothing wrong with fear, but a more elevated motive, of course, would be love of God. Jesus, and then we're going back now to his quote, "Jesus was nailed to the cross because of our sins. Basic gratitude toward the Redeemer ought to help us keep us from sin. The consideration of the suffering Savior ought to make us ashamed of seeking our bodily delight. St. Paul made this perfectly clear when he said, quote, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Here he is quoted. I'm quoting here in this case, Galatians 5:24.
It's a powerful statement. Crucified our flesh and our sinful passions and desires.
Well, then he goes on to tell us to be humble and persevere in prayer. This is Father Allman again giving us advice here. The Bible is full of statements declaring that it is impossible, to conquer concupiscence without God's grace. We find this in Wisdom 8:21, Sirach 23:6, and in other places. So prayer is recommended as one of the chief channels of God's grace.
There's that old Catholic saying that I've repeated 1,000 times to people and to myself. When we're struggling with temptation, pray and get away. And it means just simply say a little prayer, "My Jesus, mercy, Lord, have mercy, Blessed Mother, help me, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph." Something very simple, and then get away. Change the channel of our thinking. And those are two of the most simple things that any of us can learn. It's almost a jiu-jitsu in the spiritual world. It can throw any temptation over our head.
Another thing he advises is devotion to Mary. And the Church has long recommended devotion to the Immaculate Virgin Mary as help against temptations of the flesh. And in this regard, Father Allman reminds us that, quote, "She is the mediatrix of all graces and the refuge of sinners." Moreover, he goes on to say, "A tender devotion to our Blessed Mother can be a constant reminder to live a life of virtue and to be a basis for hope in her maternal protection," end of quote.
I think Pope John Paul II was such a wonderful example when he had as his motto on his shield, "Totus tuus, totally yours." He talks so often how much great devotion he had to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And I think he ended almost every one of his letters or encyclicals or statements, something about, and we put this through the intercession of our Holy Mother Mary, Mother of Jesus and Mother of the Church and Mother of us all. So devotion to Mary certainly has been one of the great, through the history of the Church, ways to live a holy, chaste, and a pure life.
Reception of the sacraments is another that he gives, advice that he gives. "Since the sacraments are the principal channels of God's grace, it is not without saying that a frequent reception of the sacraments is the most effective way to do battle with temptations of the flesh." According to Father Allman, quote, "This is a certain and efficacious remedy against all types of sin, but especially against the attacks of concupiscence," end of quote. For example, confession not only eliminates past sins, but also protects us from committing future sins. And Father tells us that, quote, "The soul that is habituated to sins of the flesh should approach the fountain of purification and should regulate the frequency of confession according to the strength it needs in order not to fall again." And he goes on to say that it is necessary to anticipate possible falls and to approach the sacrament of penance when we know that we are weakening and are losing strength. In this way, we can regain strength and thereby avoid the fall that threatens us. Then he goes on to recommend frequent communion to help combat temptations of the flesh. And regarding this, he says, quote, "Holy Communion has a supreme efficacy against the concupiscence of the flesh. Our Lord diffuses over us the graces of fortitude and resistance against the power of the passions. His most pure flesh is placed in contact with our sinful flesh to spiritualize it," end of quote. And I think this is especially true for young people because experience in the direction of soul shows that clearly that there is nothing as powerful and efficacious for keeping a young person in temperance and chastity as daily frequent communion anyway.
Those two things have always been tied together almost like hand and glove. Frequent confession and frequent reception of the sacrament of Holy Eucharist. Now, one of the things that happened in our society since Vatican Council II is many people eliminated almost in their life the sacrament of penance, and everybody started going to receive Holy Communion, and that became a real problem because many times a person wasn't really prepared. They were living in some kind of big sin, and they went to communion because, well, everybody does that and I think it's okay. So I think we really need to stress the importance of the reception of the sacrament of penance if we have any big sin at all before we go to the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, because otherwise, as St. Thomas Aquinas said way back in the 13th century, rather than having food for our soul, we take poison for our soul. We commit a sacrilege in receiving the Holy Eucharist unworthily.
Well, there's one thing that he advises. All of the remedies against that we've talked about so far to help us overcome sensuality are of a positive nature. If that's not enough of a deterrent to curbing sins of the flesh, perhaps a consideration of the pain of hell will motivate the habitual sinner to repentance and avoidance of the near occasion of sin. Father Almond recommends that we consider the sins of punishment. And as he points out, even if a person repents of sin and obtains forgiveness, he still owes the debt of temporal punishment. He or she will have to pay for the offense against God or the damage inflicted on his neighbor by his sin, either in this life, or, of course, in the next life with suffering in purgatory. In either case, Father warns, quote, the suffering that will have to be endured far exceeds the pleasures that the individual enjoyed in sinning. From this point of view alone, it is a very poor exchange, end of quote. So again, for the most part, most of the advice he gives is positive things. But yet on the other hand, in the final analysis, if that's not enough, then there's nothing wrong with a little bit of fear.
In Alcoholics Anonymous, they always teach a person, don't look at what's in the bottle, look at what's in the bottom of the bottle. The overhang, the hangover, and the vomiting, and all the stuff that comes with excessive drinking. So that's fear. Fear can be a very good motivation. Keep me out of sin, and I think it helps keep a lot of people out of sin. Well, our time is running out again, Ron. Thank you for your participation in the Universal Call to Holiness, how we can avoid sin and go to the Mountain of Holiness. May God bless you always and in all ways.